Okay, so tonight's topic is Torah Lishma. I'm going to try and do it straight, I guess I would say, as opposed to trying to play around the edges. We're going to try and build towards what is the most well-known current definition of, or currently probably best-known definition of Torah Lishma, which is that of Rav Chaim Volozhin. So the shiur will build towards Rav Chaim Volozhin's thesis, and then we'll see what we think at the end of it. Next week we'll talk about how Rav Soloveitchik understood Rav Chaim Volozhin's thesis and whether we're compelled by that, and the last week we'll talk about definitions of Torah not Lishma and how we get right and whether how we can backform to not Lishma from Lishma. Right, the source sheet has 4 pages, okay, so everyone should make sure that they have all 4. Okay, so we're going to start with the Gemara in Tanis, the Zayin and Aleph. Rabbi Binah would say, Kol ha'osek b'Torah l'shma, good things happen, we don't care what those good things are, we're just interested that he uses the word Torah l'shma. What does Torah l'shma mean? So Rashi jumps in immediately and says, l'shma means, mishum k'asher sivani Hashem Elokai, v'lo k'dei li'karot Rebbe. Right, because of as God commanded me, which is a quote, but it's not a quote about learning Torah, so we'll just leave it as you know, as an appropriation of a biblical text. Pardon?
Is it about Pesach?
It's about Biarti Hakodesh Mabayit. No, isn't that right? Which one is it? It's one of those in early Dvarim, I believe.
Oh,
so Rabbi Belsky, do you know offhand?
So it's not about some like possible quotes, but I don't
know. Okay, I didn't look it up, so I could be wrong also. So we'll take advantage of much more in the third shir is the space between the definition of lishma and the definition of not lishma, right? So lishma means as God commanded me, and not lishma means in order to be called rabbi. There are many, many things like which can motivate people to learn Torah other than God's command and being called rabbi. Now there are things that probably most of us would put on the realm of friend. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, right? I'm off. Okay, thank you.
Which means it's closer.
Yeah, it is closer.
It's about the learning and the teaching. And not the
good. Yeah. My sloppiness. Go ahead. Thank you. Okay. So Rashi, but Rashi, look, we're only interested right now in the Lishma side, Rashi says, to learn something Lishma is to learn Asher Tzivani Hashem Elokai, as Hashem, my God, has commanded me. So we have to try that. What's the motive?
None.
There's no motive at all?
One? Right. That's why I don't like Rashi's definition. Once there's a motive, then it's not Lishma.
Uh-huh. So why are you doing it? I mean, it doesn't happen by itself. You're doing it, right? But, so what is the motive is to fulfill a commandment, it sounds like, right? Yeah, because God commanded it. Friend?
That's a motive.
Like you think, but... Why is Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai not mean for the sake of the commandment?
Do you have friends that you go out to dinner with sometimes?
We'll leave that aside. Let's assume I do.
Let's assume yes.
Yeah, okay.
Why? Are you going to get something from it?
No, because, right?
You want to be with your friend. You want to learn Torah, you want to be with God.
You have better friends than I do. I only go out with friends because God commanded me to.
Fine.
That's Rashi says as God commanded me, no?
You're
disagreeing with Rashi. You're disagreeing with Rashi. You think that Lishma has to mean with no motive at all, it just has to happen organically. Once you think about it, it's not Lishma anymore. Okay.
Pretty much. Once you start to find a reason for it, you broke it.
Aha, okay. Well, I'm not holding a Tivo Shalom, so I can't challenge you. I can't challenge you on that one. Okay, well, hold that. We'll see if it's, you know, we'll see how it holds over the next few weeks.
I'm more focused on the what it isn't.
Yeah.
I think that's more interesting. That it, of course, it's not. It's good to not have evil intentions, but that it has to do with, I guess, whether it be power. Or one could wonder if it's less like has to do with power, but has to do with mastery. I don't know. It's interesting that I think if it was, you could just say Mishum Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai, but we also hear the what it shouldn't be.
Yeah, as I say, it's very interesting. It opens up lots of space, yeah. But for this today, all I want to focus and pretend that the definition of the positive lishma is enough. And Rashi didn't do that, right? And he says, Right? It sounds like the purpose of Lishma, what Lishma means, is to fulfill a commandment. And the problem with that is that, is there anything unique about Torah?
No.
That's why you do every other mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Right? So it could be there's something unique about Torah that other mitzvahs, we don't really care why you do them. But Torah is only purposeful if done Lishma. Right? That would be possible. But it seems like we are, that Torah is a mitzvah like all their mitzvahs, maybe even less rational than mitzvah because you can't do it for any motivation other than learning it for the sake of, because God commanded it. Yes.
Could be a contrast not between learning Torah and other mitzvahs, but between learning Torah and learning other things. Like other things that you learn them because it has a practical benefit or an aesthetic benefit, or you're just interested in it for whatever reason. But if you're learning Torah because God said, do this,
then it's Lishma.
A wholly different thing.
Okay, so it's different. So you're contrasting. So Torah Lishma means you're doing it, but does it mean you're doing it only for the sake of the commandment?
If that's all that Rashi is saying here.
So you don't think it's, and why should you do mitzvah, other mitzvah? Like, why should you wave a lulav around?
I mean, also, because God's...
All right, so Torah is like all the mitzvah and not like other books. Okay. Again, if you're raised in a strong yeshiva culture, you think Talmud Torah is supposed to be unique, and it's a mitzvah that's different than all the other mitzvahs. So then this is a little disappointing. Yes, Barak.
I think this is an attack, but you could say in Achinami, defining Lishma as Lashem Tzivoy, as it makes Lishma impossible for a woman to achieve.
Aha! All right, now that is a real issue, right? Is it right? Does it mean that only people who are mechuyav can learn Torah? That's a fair question.
I mean, yeah. I have kind of the opposite to intuition. I mean, I see what you're saying, you know, based on the language here, but you know, if you are doing Talmud Torah to be mechayim for mitzvah.
Maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it means I'm doing learning Torah because I want to know what God has commanded me. I'm learning Torah only for the sake of knowing what God has commanded.
I think it's because God commanded you to. Whereas if you haven't been commanded at all, I think that.
So you just think that.
You know, it's possible.
You think
you
that.
You can be even more Lishma, or that's Lishma in a different way.
Uh huh. But you're not bothered by Barak's question because you think that even if you're not Mechuyevet, you're still in the mitzvah and that still makes it Lishma.
No, I think that absent the mitzvah, it's even more Lishma.
After you do the mitzvah that you're learning about, and now I'm lost.
No, I think that, you know, if there is no few, and you're still learning, then, you know, you don't have that, motivation of, like, doing it because...
I always say, you want to critique the same way that Roger wants to critique on the grounds that any motive is good. You want to critique that even for the sake of chiyuv, it should be that, right? Yeah. Should be an ulterior motive. So that's hard to fit into Rashi, right?
Yeah, it is.
Maybe Rashi is giving you a minimal, right? Rashi is telling you the floor, the minimum you can get to Lishma is, right, is for tzivui, but you can get above it, sure,
yeah,
which is doing it despite the fact that you're not commanded,
so long as
you don't bring in any other motive.
Right. It was more to push back against Barak than to
okay.
Rashi.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Yes, good.
Possible Nikuda Machloka being Maxine LeBarak could be like, what if you are put in front of you the mitzvah of tzitzit? You think you're learning mitzvah tzitzit, but really it turns out it's Hilchot Mezuzah. So I'd be curious if you're Makayim. And also you could take it even further and say, you think that what you're doing is Talmud Torah Mitzvah Tzitzit, but really someone just Chas V'Sholom made up like a bunch of random halachas. I'm curious whether you're Mekayim the Mitzvah.
Okay. I don't know. Honestly, don't know. Yes, Moshe, what do you want to ask? Not again. Okay. Oh, okay. Yes, thank you.
If we read Rashi as it not necessarily requiring this be a soul motivation, then you can bridge the gap between Ka'asher Tzivani Hashem Elokai and Lo Kadeh Ikarot Levi. Because if what Rashi means is that at least one of your motivations must be that it is a tzivoy, then like you could have other motivations as well at the same time, so long as one of those motivations is not Ikarot.
Okay, I don't see it in the language, right? If he said Velo Bilvad Gedeh Ikarot Levi or something like that, sure. But he seems to set up an opposition.
No, meaning To learn Torah Lishma means that at least one of my motivations must be.
Okay, I don't see it, Rashi. Rashi says, "What about my motivation should be this and not that?" So I don't. At least you could say at least one. I don't see any evidence for that. At least I don't see any way that that gets to.
Well, otherwise, you have a huge gap. You put it out.
Yeah. Okay. In Echaname, they'll hold that for 2 weeks, because I will play with the gaps a lot in 2 weeks. Okay. Yes, Marty.
Understanding because I was commanded. Mishum is the because of this notion of Kasher Sivan Hashem Okai, which in context, right, it's that Moshe is saying, so there's importance to learning about.
Okay, so you think it's kasher, right? I want to learn the things that I have been commanded, not what I learn because I have been commanded to learn. I want to learn because I've been commanded other things, and how am I going to know about those other things unless I learn?
Right.
Okay.
And it also could be, the context continues, la so king, right? So, the notion of real mode la so.
Okay. Even moving towards, right?
I think it's a misreading to think of it as because I'm.
Okay. Okay, so we have a bunch of counter readings and two objections to Rashi. Yes.
Can I just further complementize that?
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem with proof texts and drash in general, like how much of the context really matters to the words that are being quoted. But this pasuk is about teaching, not learning.
Okay. Mm. Fair.
And it's not just teaching; it's teaching them so that other people will be able to fulfill them as well.
Okay, interesting. I agree that problematizes it.
But I think maybe, you want to not bring in the second half of Rashi, but it's interesting to, be able to think there's a value to teachers of Torah.
Even if they don't have titles?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's osik. If we're technical, it's osik b'Torah. That's not saying learning or teaching. That's a different word.
Okay, you're right that we have not so far distinguished Osek from anything else, and probably in this year we're not going to. It'll be upfront that we're not going to really distinguish Osek from Talmud, although we perhaps should. Okay, I want to read the Rambam now, and let's see how the Rambam compares to any of the possibilities we offered in Rashi. Rambam says the following: Kol Osek b'Torah kidei lekabel schar, in order to receive reward. So that he won't suffer some kind of punishment. It sounds to me like this is religious, right? He's not talking about human reward, right? But actually, right, does not to receive a puranut. You don't agree with me, Roger?
Of course, because the Shema says if you do these mitzvot,
you'll... Oh, I didn't. So what I mean by that, and I don't try to be clear. It sounds to me like you don't want God to punish you. How God punishes me, it doesn't matter to me. But the Rambam says, if you do, I think the Rambam's talking about your motivation is you're learning Torah because God will reward you, whether he rewards you with abundant rain or with right or punish you right with blessed disguise. Right? It's not because human beings, as opposed to Rashi, where the down is, human beings will give you honor, respect, power, whatever it may be. Right? The Rambam's concept of not lishma is still a religious motivation. Okay, right. So that's hareza osek shelo lishma. If you learn in order to receive reward, not to receive punishment, that's not lishma. V'chol osek ba, but if you learn lo liyirah, not out of fear of God, v'lo lekabel schar, not to receive reward from God, ela b'pnei ahavat adon kol aretz shetzivaba, but rather because of the love of the Lord of the land who commanded it. That's what lishma means. So they both have the word sivui. Right, Rashi says kasher tzivani. And Rama says shet siva, but it sounds like they're saying very different things. Right? None of the explanations we offered for Rashi said that lishma was based on a direct emotional relationship with God. But the Rama seems to think that lishma is defined by love of God. All right, so we have two. Right, so we have at least two competing definitions. The question, of course, in the Rambam is, so again, why is that unique to Talmud Torah? But in the Rambam, there's an answer. They say you should do all the mitzvahs because you love God, right? Why is Talmud Torah unique? But in the Rambam, there's an answer because the Rambam believes that the way to love is knowledge. Right? So the Rambam thinks that the way to arrive at love of God is to know about God. And so you could easily argue, right, that the Rambam believes, and I think that will show up all over the Rambam, that the way to express love is to try to deepen it. And so the Rambam, right, the reason to learning Torah Lishma means to learn Torah in order to know God better, right, which is an expression of love and will deepen your love. Right, that's a very different vision. It has nothing to do with the fact of being commanded to learn. If anything, probably this is, you know, that would work with Maxine, that if you're doing it because you're commanded, that's not love. And if you're right, and it's not about doing the mitzvot, because for the Rambam, doing the mitzvot are ways to enhance your understanding. You don't, right? You know, for the Rambam, you don't learn in order to know what to do. You do in order to understand what you're learning, or you do it in order to develop your intellect so you'll understand things. Okay, so we have two conflicting definitions, and now let's go back to the Talmud and see what the Talmud says, which will, you know, I think we'll be able to see how these positions could be grounded. Each of these positions can be grounded in a prior text. So we take a look at Nedarim 62a. There's a braita which quotes on the verse, to love Hashem your God, to heed his voice, and to cleave to him. To cleave to him, is uladavka bo, and that term uladavka bo is going to matter to us a lot. Cleave is a great, I forget what the term for the word, they used it a while back, where it means itself and its opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Contronym, that was right. Contronym, that was the word. So here we mean to cleave is to stick to, mm-hmm. to adhere. So the pasuk says you should love God and adhere to him. And also to heed him. Right? It's all there. So what does that mean? Shlo yomar adam, a person should not say, ekra sheikra'uni chacham. I will read scripture so that people will call me chacham. I will learn the equivalent of Mishnah so that people will call me Rebbe. I'll do cool intellectual things with Torah so that people will give me a fellowship and let me stay in yeshiva forever. Ella lemad me'ahava v'sofa kavod lavo. Rather, you should learn out of love. And by the way, don't worry, all the other stuff will come. So we have here is, don't learn in order to call yourself Rebbe. That's not right. That's bad. That's Rashi. Don't learn for the sake of receiving the reward of honor. But rather learn out of love. So that's where the Rambam comes from. Right? We have Rashi's negative, don't learn to be called Rebbe. And the Rambam's positive, do learn out of love. What we don't have is a definition of love. What does it mean to learn out of love? So in the Rambam, we have a philosophic apparatus that we can apply to understand what it means to learn out of love. But in the Talmud, we can't necessarily assume that. But then we get to what really interests me now. Is Rabbi Eliezer Ber Bit Tzedok says, Asei dvarim l'shem pa'alam, do things for the sake of the one who made them. Let's assume that's what pa'alam means. It's complicated grammatically. Let's assume that. V'daber b'hem lishmam, and speak in them for their own sake. That's l'chora what lishmam means, right? For their own sake. So here we have the phrase l'shem, and it makes for the first time we have somebody offering an explicit distinction between mitzvot and Torah. Even though the leading verse doesn't distinguish anyway, it just says l'havad Hashem l'kech l'shma b'kolo l'daf kabo. We don't know the relationship between Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzedok and the first statement. Is he disagreeing? Is he expanding? Is he unrelated? Is he dealing with the same proof text? Let's work on the assumption for now that he is dealing with the same proof text, so he's also trying to explicate love. And what he says is, right, because when he tells you what not lishmam is, don't make them a crown to exalt yourself with it. Don't make them a shovel to dig with, right? Don't instrumentalize Torah. And he tells you that instrumentalizing Torah is bad. Belshazzar, right, the king of Media, gets expelled from this and the next world because he uses the things of the Beit HaMikdash for secular purposes. So if you use Torah for any secular purpose, that's bad. Okay, that's all the not lishma. But what's the lishma? On the one hand, it seems like, you know, he should be working with love. And on the other hand, he has a distinction between Torah and mitzvot, and he introduces this notion of for their own sake. So that could be Roger, right? That it's just like you can't motivate it, right? Either you're doing it or not. Once if you're doing it spontaneously, that's great. And if you're not, you're not. Okay, organically, whatever you want to write.
Maybe I'll do a different example you might get. You have a Rebbe from years ago that you haven't seen for a while, and you really respect this person who knows you and you haven't seen him for a while, and you have no email contact, that you go out of your way to see him. You're not doing it for something. You're just doing it. This is a person you love and you miss.
Oh, love it, you, but love it now.
I did. But there's something, you have desire to be with them and you missed them. That's the relationship you're supposed to have with God. That when you're doing the mitzvah, learning or anything.
Yes, but the problem. But here we're trying to explain something about that makes Torah different, right? You make mitzvah are l'shem pa'alam, and Torah is lishmam. Right? So trying to be like, what's the difference between l'shem pa'alam, which for the sake of the one who made them, and lishmam for their own sake? So right, it's not the same motive as mitzvah. Right? So this is a big deal, right? Yes. Okay.
I think Rav Kook on Torah lishma provides a nice contrast to the Rambam, actually.
Let's not do it now. Okay. Sorry. see where we are at the end.
Okay, sorry. All right.
Because he's post Rav Chaim Blazer, so it's right.
So,
yeah. Okay. So if you turn the page, right? So here is the there you have the whole pasuk, which right says ki im shamor tishmarun if kol hamitzvah zot asher anochi mitzaveh etchem la'asota. So it sounds like it's doing about doing. Although the Netziv always gets out of that, because the Netziv always says, whenever you talk about la'asot, it doesn't mean to do mitzvot, it means to make creative Torah suggestions. Right, that's the Netziv, always la'asot is to be mechadesh in Torah. So we could interpret it that way, if we so wished. But it sounds like it's talking about mitzvot, but nonetheless, there's no way out of Reb Elazar Bar Tzadok talking about, using it to talk about Torah. So the Rush in Adarim says the following. Do things l'shem pa'alam means l'shmo shel hakadosh baruch hu. Do it for the sake of God. That's why you do mitzvot. V'daber behem l'shmam, kol diburcha ma'asacha b'divrei Torah will be l'shem ha'Torah. Right? So the Rush makes this distinction explicit. You do mitzvot for the sake of God, and you learn Torah for the sake of Torah. But what does it mean to learn Torah for the sake of Torah? That's different than doing something for the sake of God. So the Rush conveniently tells you, or at least he gives you an example. He says, kagon, for example, in order to understand it. Learning Torah for the sake of Torah means to add things to it. I think it's really important that he says, and to add, right? But it depends on what you say, lahosif lekachu pilpul. So I translated lekach as takeaways, which is maybe excessively literal. But it seemed better than sponge cake, which is, you know, right, another possible lekach is sponge cake, too. But contextually, takeaways seem more likely than sponge cake. And the question is, so when you say to add it, does that mean that what you're doing is you're adding to your own moral understanding of the story and adding pilpul does, right? So pilpul is always tricky, whether it just means adding sharp understandings or it means adding creative sharp understandings. So you can read it two ways. You can say that the Rush thinks that the mitzvah is about adding depth, or you can say that the Rush thinks it's about creatively contributing to Torah. And that's what Daber Behem Lishmam means. All right, but this is, right, the Rush, I think, is a plausible reader of Yaakov. He explains the difference between Torah and mitzvot. But it's a really interesting thing, is that, right, what's the religious motivation of doing it in order, right, of learning it, right? Why would we say you should spread, as opposed to mitzvot, we should do for the sake of God? Torah, you're only, right, Torah, you're supposed to divest yourself of those religious motivations and just understand it. Right, that's a really interesting claim. And what happens if you like it? What happens if you enjoy learning? Is that bad? You don't think it's bad, but then is that for the sake of? The Rush doesn't say anything about enjoying it. He just says for the sake of the things themselves.
You could fall into a trap of only doing it for enjoyment, so when it's tough, I stop.
So we're going to try the Taig move, that we have to have multiple motivations. Right? It's just right. Among your motivations has to be just doing it for the sake of the thing itself. But it's okay if you also have enjoy it.
Your motivation is that you want to be with your creator.
No, can't do that. No, God's out of it, right? God's out of the picture. That's mitzvah. No God in Torah. One of my first experiences in adult ed was at Lincoln Square. I gave an early version of my advanced Talmud for beginners class, and there was one person who came and understood nothing, but came all the time, and eventually came to me at some point after class and told me that he didn't understand a thing I said, but that he just felt spiritually inspired being in the class, and that was it. And it was, you know, actually quite disruptive. So I really considered putting a sign on my class: if you wish to have a religious experience, please do not. this is an intellectual class, because it was because I wanted people to be focused on authority and, like, you know, he was having experiences. Any case, right? So we can say that Rush says that. Natan, what did you want to say?
I'll mention it later.
Okay, Sophia, what do you want to say?
This might feel like a silly question, but how are we defining the Torah here?
I don't know.
Because I think that, like, the
stuff you study.
Right, but the things that we are studying are also built to make us closer to God and be in relationship to God.
Right? Really?
I mean, the mitzvot seem pretty clearly that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
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 So then that's the part where I don't fully understand. Like, if it's Kigon Leidah Ulavin, the mitzvot just, like, yeah, it feels kind of circular.
Okay. Yes, say.
Perhaps it just means the shame for Ra'ah, meaning, like, that, of course, the function of Talmud Torah is to arrive at the mitzvot, and the and so those are the shmosh and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and when you're learning Torah, you've got to have the focus of trying to understand what the Torah is expecting of you.
You're very careful to say that what the Torah is expecting of you, not what God is expecting of you, because you know that I'm going to be upset if you mention God again.
Inherently.
Is then? That's a part that feels...
Interesting question. I don't know.
So yeah, a piece of literary. We could also say you could read War and Peace and do all the same things. But.
So you could. It's a 3-week series. I don't have to answer all the questions yet. Okay. Let's go on to the Egel Tal. The Egel Tal, the Sukkot Shavuot Rebbe, we're in the mid-19th century, so I'm cheating too, because I'm going ahead of Reb Chaim Volozhin. But I want to try and bring him in as a setup, and then we'll go to Reb Chaim Volozhin. So Egel Tal says, while I'm at it, this is just the end of his introduction. Egel Tal is a work on the 39 Melachot of Shabbat. Tal is Lamed Tet, 39 backwards. While I'm at it, I'll mention the opinion of some people, strayers from the path of the intellect. Right? People who have abandoned the way of intelligence. Right. So this is not an opinion of which he is fond. Regarding the study of our Holy Torah, they say that one who is creative while learning and derives joy and delight from study, this is not learning Lishma. At least not learning Lishma quite as much as if they were just learning things without intellectual enjoyment. Right? They should just be doing Bikius. Because you just read the stuff and it's boring as anything. Right? So that's really learning Lishma. You're just doing Bikius. But if you're having fun, right, that's really a bad idea. But this is the least dangerous version of the shir. Right, because I'm trying, right, obviously, not to teach that way. The third week is usually called learning Torah is like taking deadly poison, which it will be in the context of the shir. Okay, so this is learning Torah, right? So they're not learning quite as much as if they were learning straightforwardly, deriving no delight at all, but rather only for the sake of the commandment, l'shem mitzvah. Right? So there are people who understood Rashi the way I suggested it, and they, right, probably, or even understood, really there are people who just seem to have read Rashi reasonably well, and said that l'shma means l'shem tzivui. Those people, however, have strayed from the way of the intellect, because in truth, right, because they think that whether one who enjoys the learning is mixing their own pleasure into the learning. But in truth, this is a blatant error. On the contrary, the essence of the commandment to learn Torah is to be celebratory, joyous, and take delight in one's learning. because then the words of Torah are absorbed into one's blood, and since he derives pleasure from Torah, he becomes davuk to it. All right, so it turns out that there's a couple of things. He says that the purpose, that the in practice, you're not learning Lishma if you're not enjoying it. But then he doesn't say the mitzvah is to enjoy it. He says that the mitzvah is really, right, the goal is for you to absorb Torah into your bloodstream. And absorbing Torah into your bloodstream is a form of divekus. So the goal of learning Torah is divekus. But he thinks that you achieve divekus through intellectual enjoyment.
I'm reading it, it sounds more like he's criticizing people that are like more interested in like a certain topic, or like, you know, maybe Ian and not Bikias. Really, it should be like...
No, he likes Ian. He's criticizing the people who do Bikias. Because people think you should only do Bikias because Bikias is the only way you can make sure that you're not learning it because you enjoy it, which would be learning it for yourself. Right? If once you start doing Ian, you start enjoying it. Once you start enjoying it, so then what's religious about it? In my religion, I will eat ice cream. I will dedicate, right? Totally dedicate myself to God. That's why I'm eating ice cream. Well, you know, some people like learning Torah more than they like ice cream. Why would you see them as religious people? I myself like learning Torah even while eating ice cream. Okay, so then the Talmud is fair. He has a vision which one could dangerously associate with Rashi, and says, right, that's a really bad position, that you have to do it exclusively for the sake of the mitzvah. Really, you're right, because enjoyment is critical. You get the idea that he enjoyed learning Torah, and probably enjoyed writing this. But he's careful to say, right, you could have said, you know, that what he means is equivalent of art for art's sake or something of the sort, that you should just take joy in Torah, and that's an end in itself. Lishma means for their own sake, and he's very careful not to do that. He doesn't say Lishma really means for their own sake. Lishma means for the sake of Dvekus. The Avat Hashem Lekecha, which, right, when we said that it comes from the verse, and the verse says that love leads to Dvekus. Right, so we're all good. Okay. Where did these people get this crazy idea that you shouldn't have fun learning? And if you have fun learning, it's not Lishma. So the answer is, there's a Gemara, Nazir and Horios, in which the Gemara says that doing an Avera Lishma is greater than doing a mitzvah, not Lishma. Then the Gemara says, no, it can't be greater. It just means just as good, but we don't really care about that right now. And the Gemara says, right, and the example of committing an Avera Lishma is Yael, who sleeps repeatedly with Sisera in order to weaken him so that she can then kill him and thereby do something which seems important for the Jewish people as a whole. And the Gemara says, what? How can you call that an Avera Lishma? How do you know she didn't enjoy it? And the Gemara says, oh, we know she didn't enjoy it. Okay, we knew, right? But in principle, had she enjoyed it, it wouldn't have been Lishma. So there we derive that if you do a mitzvah, and you get enjoyment out of it, you're not doing it Lishma. Because that's certainly true of an Avera. Apparently, if you do an Avera, right, then we've talked about it, sure, the Netziv says that it was okay for Yaakov to steal the birthright or the bracha from Esav. That's an Avera Lishma, but he gets punished because he enjoyed it when Esav screamed. Because you can't, right? So the question is it true, though, right? So I think that's where they get the idea. I don't think it's so far straying from the path of the intellect that they get the idea that mixing personal pleasure into a religious act is a denial, in some way it detracts from its lishma status. The question is, are they correct in saying that the definition of lishma is the same in the context of a transgression of the law as it is in a fulfillment of the law? Let alone whether it's the same in the study of the law as it is in the fulfillment of the law. But it's a perfectly reasonable position, right? They have a precedent for saying that lishma, that personal enjoyment, removes the lishma from an action. Okay, but the Eglei Tal will presumably say that that's only in the context of an avera, but in the context of a mitzvah, not. And you can decide for yourself which of these two arguments you find more compelling. Okay, Rabbi Norman Lamb, Zichrono Livracha, in his book, which I thought I brought in. Put down somewhere here. There we are. Book. Torah for Torah's sake, Torah Lishma on Rav Chaim Volozhin. which was for many years the standard study in Rechaim V'Lashon, writes the following. The study of Torah for its own sake, sorry for the missing F, was the 18th century Rechaim V'Lashon's translation of the Shema. Rechaim's major contribution to the subject of the Shema is its definition as L'shem HaTorah, for the sake of the Torah, or Torah for its own sake, quite literally. The intellectual comprehension of Torah is the purpose of its study. The study of Torah, however, is different. Here, there is no place for inspiring religious emotion. The purpose is purely cognitive. The increase in knowledge and understanding. Okay, so, yes?
The only options are emotion. He doesn't mention healing.
Yeah, he doesn't, right? He doesn't mention that at all. That's true, right? That doesn't even come into it. Because that's not what you could say that the Daber Behem Lishmam means when you are learning about the mitzvot, you should do it for the sake of doing the mitzvot. Right? You could have said that. But he doesn't. He's not going to. Right? And I think when we read it the first time, that's not what we thought the Rush meant either. Right? It sounded like the Rush was distinguishing Torah from mitzvot. And because Torah is to some extent about itself, it's not an unreasonable, it's certainly not an unreasonable read. Okay, so Rav Lamb says that Rechaim V'Lashon sort of takes the bait that we put up in the context of the Rush, and says that that you have to distinguish Talmud Torah from mitzvot because mitzvot are about a relationship with God, and Torah is not. Torah is a purely intellectual activity into which spirit, right? So I wasn't, I was justified in Lincoln Square also, right? And inspiring religious emotions have no place in Shir. Okay, now the question is, did Rav Chaim V'Lashon actually say this? Or is this Rabbi Lam's formulation of Rav Chaim V'Lashon, which we can then read and debate? I should say that Rabbi Lam was my teacher, so I will, if I disagree with him, it will be with, it will be with great kavod, and probably because I learned this from him. I remember when I was in his class on Chassidut, which was part of the same class, and then sometime later I was reading the Encyclopedia Judaica and saying, Rabbi Lam's class was right out of the Encyclopedia Judaica, until I looked at the initials at the end of the Judaica article and they were an L. Then I realized it was the other way around, right? So he was an accepted authority on that era with both the Lithuanians and the Hasidim. And his famous thesis was that the Nefesh HaChaim was not actually an anti-Hasidic polemic, but an attempt to reconcile in many ways Hasidic and Lithuanian culture. But this is one of the core differences. The Nefesh HaChaim says the following. Right, there are two chapters. I'll preview that in next week's shir. We'll point out that Chaim V'Lashon actually does this twice. Once in Nefesh HaChaim, which is his programmatic work. Once in Ruach Chaim, which is his commentary on Pirkei Avot, and next week we'll talk about possible differences between them. But for this week, we'll assume that he says the same thing, and he certainly says something close to the same thing in both places. He says the following: the meaning of being osik in Torah Lishma. The clear truth is that Lishma doesn't mean dvekus, as most of the world now thinks. Okay, now his target is the Baal HaTanya, but you could call his target, if you wanted, you could call it the Egel Eitel. It was also Hasidic. And he says that the purpose is joy, and the purpose of joy is dvekus. So Rechaim V'Lashon starts by saying, don't think Torah Lishma has nothing to do with dvekus. And this is sensible, he says. He has a whole series of arguments, but here's the one that matters to us. There are many laws in the Talmud that when a person is osek in Talmud Torah, you're missing page 2. Oh, you were just looking back, okay. So when a person is osek in Talmud Torah, there's no way that you can avoid thinking about really, really nitty gritty physical stuff. You're paskening Hilchos Nida, right? So you're literally looking at blood. Okay, but David HaMelech in one place says that God should show favor to him because, like, look here my hands are covered in blood and things like that. And the Rav says, David HaMelech, of course, doesn't mean that. What he means is that he's thinking about such things. Right? Because why would David HaMelech be spending his time doing that when he could be sitting in yeshiva and learning? But anyways, right? But the Nefesh HaChaim seems to think, right, that even if you're just learning about it, you're learning about blood. You're learning about bird's nests. And worst, you're learning about liars. Right? Because there's a whole section of halacha which is about what would this plaintiff say if they were a liar. So in order to understand that, you have to think like a liar. How can you think like a liar and be in communion with God? So Rav Chaim Vilezhin says it's obvious that in order to learn Torah, you have to sacrifice Dveikus. If you want to be involved in Torah as such, right, you cannot be thinking about God already. He says it is nearly impossible that one could sustain appropriate Dveikus then. So the truth is that Lishma means for the sake of the Torah. As the Rush explained, out of love of Torah itself, mamash. So mamash is one of those words that doesn't help you very much. You say it when you're waving your hands around, right? So it's love of the Torah, mamash. right? But I think he's trying to say it, and not anything else. Just Torah for Torah's sake. But then at the end he says, but he also says, out of love of Torah itself, mamash. So there is love. But the love is for Torah, not for God. It was interesting, right? So Rav Lam is right that Rav Chaim Vilezhin seems to be going out of his way to tell you that this is not about the depth of your relationship with God. It's not about the intensity of your relationship with God. You are, right, in the same way that, let's say, that Avraham Avinu walks away from Revelation to greet guests, you have to walk away from Revelation to be in the Beit Midrash. Because it's not about, or at least walk with the experience of God to walk in the Beit Midrash, because if you're in the Beit Midrash, you might have to be thinking about bad people. And not about the Tzelem Elokim in bad people, about the badness of bad people. Right? About the lies of liars and what it's like to be a liar. And put yourself in their position. So that's a fascinating claim. Right? But this is, right, that there's a thing called love of Torah, which is distinct from love of God, and your motivation while learning is love of Torah. Which is all about understanding it, maybe about creatively contributing to it. Now, maybe that's the same kind of joy that the Avnei Nezer is talking about. Or maybe not, I don't know. Yes, Maxine, what do you want to say?
I think that it doesn't, I don't know if joy is necessarily something that's present here. I mean, I think you can definitely have love without joy. And the thing is, I don't know, spending time with it, I guess what you said here is like adding takeaways. It seems like there's kind of, I don't know, it's not about the pleasure that you get in your love of Torah, but it almost seems more like a caring kind of love, where it's more for the Torah itself rather than, I don't know, it seems to not have like that kind of reciprocity where you are
getting something out of it. Yeah. So that's interesting, right? So I think it's, you know, we go back to Rabbi Lam's formulation, right? There's no place for inspiring religious emotion. So the question, right? So if I asked you before you read this sentence, is love of Torah an inspiring religious emotion? You probably would have said yes. But if Rabbi Lam is correct, right? So he says there's no place for inspiring religious emotion. So love of Torah can't be an inspiring religious emotion. Yes, Barak.
Seems like Rabbi Lam is saying there's no place for Torah to generate religious emotion, and Rabbi Chaim is saying religious emotion is a prerequisite for Torah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Rabbi Lam's rejecting the idea that emotion can proceed as a result of learning.
Okay, so you want to reconcile them, right? So when I learn, I should not expect the learning to inspire any love of God, but I should learn for love of Torah. Still, we have to say, like, why not just say I should learn for love of God, but not in order to expand my love of God?
He doesn't think love of God is relevant to learning Torah. He thinks it's love of Torah.
Yes, yeah, so that's a really fascinating thing. So what does it mean to love Torah? Do you love Torah the same way you love God? Because it's a thing, right? Or it's a being, whatever you want to call it, right? Or do you love Torah because Torah is a really, really shiny intellectual object that you can play with. Yes, Kier.
Well, I think it actually fits well with the third char of Nefesh HaChaim, that there might be kind of an idea that we're all like part of, we're all part of God, and us learning Torah represents us going back to some kind of ideal state. Like the fact, like the Agadah, taking seriously the Agadah, so that we all knew Torah before we were born.
That's a lot of baggage to put on a sentence. I don't know. Not like, maybe.
I don't think it's like an original sin thing. I think it's a like.
Where do you see that here? Right. All he says is love of Torah of his soul, right?
I'm seeing it from his general, from the third char, where he says that we're all part of like some larger.
Okay, I don't know. Not convinced. You have to show me a work direct application, I think.
We'll do.
Okay, so I want to do one more. So, but here I want to give some. I think that in much of the Lithuanian world, the belief is, and maybe this is just because I was overly influenced by Relam, that's really what yeshiva is about. Yeshiva is about Talmud Torah Lishma, which is you're just supposed to learn for the sake of learning. And Reb Chaim Volozhin, right? Volozhin is the mothership, and right, that's what learning is. Right, that's what learning is about. Although there's always, I think, some confusion about exactly what that means, just as there's always going to be confusion about what art for art's sake means. It's very hard when somebody's making a statement that's intended to be sort of paradoxical to say you really understand it. So I want to show one way in which I think that even though people use it as a verbal formula, it was never quite, I wonder if it was really ever quite as sustainable, whether people ever really believed it, even when it was the cultural slogan. So I want to read the Shiurei Dat. Shiurei Dat is the head of the Telzer Yeshiva, right? So we're in the 20th century, and the Telzer Yeshiva is a direct descendant of Volozhin, as right in that ideological mainstream. Although it is a critique of it offers a critique of Brisk, but they're both offshoots of Volozhin. So here's what he says: "Be'efshar shezehu inyan limud Torah lishma." Maybe this is what I've just talked about, which you have to go back and read the rest of it to find out what I just talked about. Maybe that's what we mean by Torah Lishma. Kilomar l'shem haTorah atzma. Okay, so he's putting himself firmly. I am now going to be explaining to you Reb Chaim Volozhin. Because Reb Chaim Volozhin is the one who said that Torah Lishma means l'shem Torah atzma, who disambiguated lishmam and said it means l'shem haTorah atzma. So this is a shmuz being given in a Lithuanian yeshiva, right? In which somebody's trying to explain the founding ideology. What does it mean that Torah should be learned for the sake of Torah itself? Bo bishvil schara, not because of reward. Okay, good, that's Rambam. Vafilu lo bishvil mitzvasa. And whatever you think Rashi meant, not that either. Okay, so we were obviously not the Rambam's not lishma, and not even Rashi's lishma. Those are wrong. Ela l'shem Torah atzma. Okay, right. That's good. Right. Now we've made a lot of progress into defining what Torah Atzma means. L'shem kedushata v'arevuta, because of its holiness and sweetness.
Interesting that you have to say sweetness, but that's pleasure.
So it is. So we'll get there, right? Right. We'll get there. First of all, holiness and sweetness are two different things, and they each have value. Right. Our relationship to Torah, but l'shem Torah Atzma means you have to love. You have to love Torah for itself. That's always difficult. I love you for yourself. What do you love about me?
Right.
No, that wrong question. Right?
I prefer to put the period after Asma. It's very easy to describe what it's not.
Yeah, it isn't.
But to say what it is hard. And I would have preferred Asma.
But he didn't. He didn't stop. Right? If he had stopped, he would have been right. He would have just been Reb Chaim Volozhin. But he doesn't stop. Yes.
In comparison to what he says it isn't,
yeah.
These are intrinsic qualities. Yisgarach is something external to it. Yisgatach is something external to it. The Kedushatah and Arvudah are things that you hear in the thing itself.
Sorry, here's a bingo word. So we can say, right, it's possible to say, I love you for yourself, by which I mean, you're right, the sweetness of your personality, and right, and the religiosity which pervades your very being. And maybe those are consistent things. Maybe not, right? It's a difficult tension, right? Once you break it down, right, you're already in trouble.
Okay, when you compare it to someone's gonna reward me.
Yeah, that's but he's not trying to just come with a negative definition. He's trying, right? So he's trying to explain Reb Chaim Voloshin. And his relation to Reb Chaim Voloshin, he doesn't talk about the sacrifice you have to make of your dvekus. Right? So he thought positively, you have to love Torah for its holiness. Holiness, is that holiness not expressed by giving you a direct connection to God? I don't know. And its sweetness, which could be intellectual. And he goes on. He says, "Kein l'shayer." We forget the kedusha for the moment. "Kein l'shayer." There is no way to measure how incredibly sweet Torah is to those who taste of the tree of life of our Torah. So it seems like we're kind of prioritizing sweetness over holiness, because I guess you can measure the holiness, but you can't measure it. But you can't measure the sweetness. And then he says, "Oh, ki al yedei zeh mitkasher adam l'kodesh baruch hu." That's how people are. He's very careful not to say Adam mitdabek, because if he said that's how a person mitdabek, then he would know that he'd gone over to the dark side of Chassidus. He's explaining Reb Chaim Voloshin, and the opening sentence of Reb Chaim Voloshin is, "Don't think that Torah Lishma means Vegas." So it's not about Vegas anymore. It's about Kishur, which is a wholly different thing, which you can all understand intuitively. Right? We want to be tied to God. We don't want to cleave to God. As Chazal say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha means that God said, "I am writing myself in when I give you this Torah." So love of Torah is actually love of God, because God and Torah are one. Nonetheless, learning Torah, don't think for a moment that it leads you to dvikus, because that would be wrong. Right? That would be against Reb Chaim Voloshin. V'zoi arivuta, but what makes it sweet, right? Not what makes it holy, but what makes it sweet is the experience of God. So a hypothesis is that the notion of Torah Lishma, in the sense that Rabbi Lam understood Reb Chaim Voloshin as saying, is just a psychologically unsustainable position. Mm-hmm. Nobody could actually hold it, because people want to know why they're doing it. And the same way, you know, people often find it unsatisfying when you say, "Well, I just love you for yourself." But what is it about you love it? I don't care, I just love you for yourself. It's very unsatisfying. Why can't you explain it? Right? There must be something. Now, there are other positions that, you know, I think that this is a phenomenon that one should be aware of, unsustainable positions. Usually, the citation I have is the Rambam's position that you can't say anything about God, because the gap between God and human beings is so great that you can't even say that something is said of God primarily and us secondarily. Right? You can't say that God knows in a way and then try and understand anything about that on the basis of the fact that we know something, because there is no comparison whatsoever between God's knowledge and our knowledge. As the Rambam says in one chapter of the Mor Nevuchim, and two chapters later, he says, "Well, God's knowledge God's knowledge is primary, and ours is secondary. You can understand in the following way." Even though he just told you two chapters earlier, you're not allowed to do that, because you can't do it, right? You end up saying that you can't say anything about God, and if you're a religious person, that doesn't work. So the thesis I want to suggest is that while the lip service to Reb Chaim Voloshin's Torah Lishma, as Torah for its own sake, has enormous weight in the tradition, actually, when people try to explain it, they fail. They always end up saying that you have to love Torah, you have to enjoy Torah, you have to find Torah as a route to God. It just doesn't work to just say Torah for Torah's sake. And the evidence of this is that if I asked you in the very beginning, you know, if I'd set up the Eglei Tal as one pole, and the Nefesh HaChaim is another pole, and that would have been reasonable, because the Eglei Tal ends in Dvekus, and the Nefesh HaChaim begins by rejecting Dvekus, you would all have said the Shiur HaDaas is on the Eglei Tal side. And yet, the Shiur HaDaas has no Hasidic inclinations at all, and makes perfectly clear that he is a Lithuanian Rosh Hashiva attempting to explain the Nefesh HaChaim. Right, so that's the thesis I want to set that's where Torah Lishma, what is presented by Rabbi Lam as the standard Lithuanian position, dominated by Reb Chaim Voloshin, actually probably was never really, really internalized. Only the opposition is. Yes, Nathan.
I think one could still distinguish between the Shiredat and the Egwe Tal in a way other than semantic, in the sense that for the Egwe Tal, like, Dvekas seems to be a positive psychological state of mind, whereas for the Shiredat, you can claim that that's just like an objective, a consequence of your investment in Torah, like Mishma, and their finances.
Maybe. Maybe. I'm going to hold off now because I'll talk about Rechaim in much more depth next week. Thank you very much for listening, and I think that the Mincha Marav people would like us.
Yeah.